Well, good afternoon. This is Glenn Coble, and you're joining me on A Progressive Life. And here in Marion, you're listening to WWGH, and you can hear us over the air as well. Or you can hear us. What was I going to say here? I forgot to hit the right button here. Anyway, you can hear us on the World Wide Web if you care to. So we're going to bring in Dr. Feynman. Dr. Feynman, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay. I've got, for some reason or other, I had music in the background, so I was trying to get out from underneath that. So we don't have a President Trump anymore. We have a President Feynman. Feynman.
That's an interesting slip.
Yeah, that was a kind of a hybrid. Connection between your name and his name.
Freudian slipping course.
So what do you think of his first week?
I think it's been great. You know, good. He's been shown real responsibility, real leadership, real maturity. His press secretary, Jen Psaki, is wonderful.
Yes,
she's so wonderful.
Sweet.
Every single day except the weekend, she's on, and she's very open and very kind, and, you know, and there's no real antagonism with the media. And, you know, and he's had all these executive orders, and he's, you know, he's really showing that he's going to be, I think, a very outstanding president.
Well, I understand that the press secretary is going to cut it back to 3 times a week.
Oh, really? I hadn't heard
and
that.
It will be a regular 3 times a week. So
okay, that's still good.
I think that's real good because you don't want to, I really don't want to listen every day to it.
Also, overexposure, I guess, if she's on every day. That's true.
Yeah. Yeah,
and it was an interesting first few days that she was doing that, and you know, I hadn't really known of her before, but she really is very good and very, very pleasant. And you know, he actually, Joe Biden made the statement that anybody working under him who acts nasty to anyone is going to be fired.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of thing I want to hear. There's no reason to have to be nasty and mean spirited.
No, there isn't, and yeah, I'm with you on that. I got really tired of hearing Sean Spicer and whatever her name was.
Huckabee Sanders.
Yeah, he had what?
Of course, the daughter of Mike Huckabee, and is now running for Arkansas governor.
Yeah,
help us.
Well, I said to my wife, I said, "Why is she running for Arkansas governor?" She said, "Don't you remember her father?" Oh, yes, I do.
Yeah, I got to tell you about Mike Huckabee. You know, when he was governor of Arkansas back in the 05, 06, 07, it wasn't that I would vote for him, but I sort of thought, not too bad for a Republican, because some Republicans are good. And he was pretty good when he was running in 07, 08. Not that I would vote for him, but not bad. Also, Rudy Giuliani was a front runner in some polls in 07, 08. And, you know, I wasn't 100% thrilled with him in New York, but I said, well, compared to most of them, not bad. Now they're both monstrous. They're unbelievably bad, particularly Giuliani, but even Huckabee, who's become the salesman of all kinds of tapes because of the fact that he's a preacher. He's such a phony, you know, and his daughter is not very bright, and she's a massive L-I-A-R, capital letters. And I don't know, Arkansas used to have Dale Bumpers in governor and senator. Bill Clinton, even with his faults, had people like that further back, J. William Fulbright.
Thank you.
What has happened to Arkansas, and what's happened to the country, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Wow. I didn't know all that. Now, that's why we have you on.
Pretty good. What? I'm sorry.
That's why we have you on. You're not only a presidential expert, but you're a governor expert as well.
And Senate. Well, actually, I wrote my first book on the Senate in the New Deal period, so I'm a big Senate fan. Did I ever tell you that, I don't know if I did, that when I was 13, I got bar mitzvah, and an uncle of mine said to me, Ronnie, what do you want to be when you grow up? And I said, a U.S. senator.
Really?
And he laughed, and he said, why don't you start at the House of Representatives first? I said, no, I want to start at the top.
Yeah, I understand. Well, I told my mother I wanted to be president. Can you believe that? Well, now we have a challenge here in the state of Ohio because Portman has announced that he's going to leave. So I got in touch with some of my political friends, and I said, are you thinking about running? And they all, almost all of them, deferred to Nan Whaley, who's the mayor of Dayton, and also some people to our senator, our congressman, and I'm losing
Tim Ryan, right?
Yeah, Ryan, right.
I think Tim Ryan is a very good candidate. He's not, for Ohio, he's not overly liberal. He's considered a moderate, but he's Jackson. Now, I think he would be probably the best choice, but he's going to have to deal with Jim Jordan, my God, who has made it clear he's going to run for that seat. And the only good thing about it is if he runs and loses, he's out of Congress.
But yeah.
But he might win. I mean, him and Sarah Huckabee Sanders, that's two vomits already.
Well, I have talked to people about people that I know that have run against Jordan or were planning to run against Jordan. The two that I've talked to, one of them, Jeff Seitz, is planning on running against him again, I believe.
What is his background in politics?
Not very heavy. That's the problem.
Mm.
Many of the people, including yours truly, when I ran as a state representative, the only other run I had ever tried was a trustee here in Marion, and that's not a whole lot of background. But
and you were in that position, or you didn't get it?
No, I didn't get either one.
Okay, yeah.
Now, the quite frankly, the way I see it is, you don't need to have a whole lot of experience to keep up with Mr. Jordan, because I don't think he has really sponsored much legislation, if any, has he?
No, he's a destructive force, but he's a Trumpite, and that's the question in Ohio. Will they vote for a Trumpite over a moderate Democrat like Tim Ryan, who I think would be a perfect senator? I really think he would be. He ran for president. He wasn't that serious about it in the sense he couldn't get very far, but he came across as decent, and, you know, I think that's what we have to have. We're not going to get a flaming liberal to win, I don't think, in Ohio the way it is now.
Not even close, yeah.
Yes, I think Ryan, well, there may be others that have to look through the whole list of the congressional Democrats. I'm not sure, but offhand, I think he would probably be the best of them all, you know, for the Democrats. And I think it'd be an interesting race, and I hope he could keep, you know, he could take that seat away from the Republicans. Because Rob probably was decent, but, you know, he doesn't want to deal with Trump anymore. He doesn't want to, you know, it's a shame, because for a Republican, he was fairly decent, you know.
Yeah, you never quite could trust him, as far as I could see, because he would say middle-of-the-road stuff or, you know, center-right stuff, and then he would go ahead and vote with Trump. So,
well, I have a feeling he may vote to convict Trump, even though he's not one of the five who said that they backed the trial. But I wrote yesterday on my blog, and I know it's not legal, I guess, my feeling is 45 Republicans said they don't think there should be a trial.
Right.
So I would say, I know it can't be done, they should eliminate them from the trial. They don't want to be involved. Have 55 senators there, and you need two-thirds, which is 37, and you've got 50 Democrats and 5 Republicans, probably get all those votes, and you might get a few more, but that way he'll be removed. I don't think, if you don't want to be involved in a trial, don't. Don't be part of the trial and leave. And leave the 55 senators judging. And that has happened in the past where some senators did not vote, like Louis Brandeis, the first Jewish member of the Supreme Court. A whole group of senators in both parties who didn't want to vote for him and didn't want to vote against him did not vote, but he was confirmed because he still had enough votes.
I think you've been holding a mandate.
You okay? You don't want to vote? You don't want to be part of the trial? You're out of it. But I know that's not necessarily the way it can be.
I think you've been holding your breath too long, Dr.
Well, wouldn't that be great if they would get 55-0, I think?
That would be something, but I think the chance of that are slim and none, and Slim's leaving town.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I can have dreams, can't I?
I think that's about all that is a dream.
But I actually wrote that on my blog yesterday. They should just be eliminated. You don't want to be involved in it? You don't want it? Don't, you know?
I missed your blog yesterday. I'm sorry. Well, do you think it's hard to imagine that the people that were in the Capitol while it was going on couldn't see? I guess what they're saying, well, there are two things that they're saying. Number one is what what's his name said from Kentucky?
He is such a nightmare. He's so horrible.
He was saying it was unconstitutional because the president's not in office. Now, I guess I can see why some people might say that. But the other thing that they're saying, they're kind of having amnesia about everything that went on, you know, and saying that the president didn't really incite this.
Yes,
well,
he did.
They didn't hear the same president I heard talking, so.
And I ask you, not ask you, but say, if Obama had been president, this happened, they'd be out gone. To take his neck. You know it. There's no question about it. It's such a double standard, you know?
It is a double standard, and I'm afraid that we're going to continue to live through that unless those of us on the progressive side keep fighting it. And I think eventually, by 2045, we will be a... the white folks will
majority
be in
minority,
charge.
Yes.
So by that time, maybe, and I think that's what's really kind of causing this problem.
Oh, absolutely, because
the white people.
Whites who are still the majority, but are becoming less and less. They're not have as many children, whatever else. That has led to this. But to me, America is a nation of all nations. So I don't care what people look like or their religion. Just let's all coexist together.
You know, my friends who are concerned about an African-American being the president or being vice president, those people could get over their concern. All they have to do is listen to the people that they're concerned about. And if you listen to those people, you'll find out they're just people. They all had mothers like you and I had, and they're all... I would say most of them are concerned about this country moving forward. And you know what moving forward is? Progressivism.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Conservatism is living in the past, and it's denying people equal opportunity. And that's what's been going on for years. Look at all the African-American men without arms, you know, unarmed, who have been killed by police officers. Yeah. You don't hear that about white kids or white men, maybe a few cases. And the thing is, when you say majority-minority in the future, it's not going to necessarily be more African-Americans. It's be more Latino,
yes.
Asian-Americans.
Asian-Americans.
Those are already larger, and Asian-Americans are growing rapidly. So I'm not even sure if African-Americans by then wouldn't be the third largest minority.
Yeah, I don't care. I think we are all Americans, no matter what your color, your religion, your sexual preference.
Exactly.
We're Americans.
Latinos have Spanish or Portuguese, in the case of Brazil, background. Did somebody forget that Spain and Portugal are part of Europe? Not like they're coming from outer space.
Yeah. Well, now, you are Jewish.
Yes.
Have you felt discrimination in your life?
Not personally, except when I was a kid. Some kids, you know, used to call me Dirty Jew or something like that.
Really?
Some kids.
Yeah.
But not much. No, and yet I'm part of a minority that's smaller than any of these groups.
Yeah.
And yet I don't feel oppressed by any group, you know. The only thing is individuals. If an individual is a criminal or a bad kind, of course. But that could be whites as well as any racial minority.
Yeah, sure.
But no, I except for a little bit of what I just said, not really, no. But
I'm proud of us Americans for... You know, for you saying that, I'm surprised.
What? I haven't had a lot of anti-Semitism?
Yeah.
Not personally in my life. No, maybe people thought things, but I never said it. No, I lived in a neighborhood mostly not Jewish when I was younger, but everybody was pleasant. The kid next door was a little bit of a nightmare. And
they all are.
The kid one next door is always the worst seat, not the ones down the street. But honestly, not to my face where I knew it. No, lucky, I guess.
Well, now, I have had discrimination against me by my Jewish neighbors. So,
No. Are they Orthodox Jewish? I hate to ask that, but...
Actually, my Jewish neighbors were up in... My father owned a cottage in northern Michigan, and everybody on the waterfront happened to be Jewish except for us.
Religious they were, because unfortunately, and some people will like it, a lot of Orthodox Jews are very biased. But I would not think that Jews would be biased against someone who's white and Christian. That surprises me. But these are wealthy people, I guess.
I'm being facetious. They were the most wonderful people.
Oh, you meant?
They were wonderful people.
I thought you would lie. I thought you would tell the truth like George Washington did about chopping down the cherry tree, right?
Yeah, I did it just like George Washington and not chopping down the cherry tree.
I even wrote that up in class about George Washington could lie. You know, because he did have an affair with Sally Fairfax while he was married, and he also had two expense accounts, one he sent to the Continental Congress.
Oh, I didn't know that.
It was made up a little bit, and it was actually getting more money back than he was entitled to.
Oh, that dirty bird. Yeah. Anyway, I
think there's all kinds of levels of lies. Well, not being honest, you know. You thought you meant that. I'm glad that's not true about that lady.
Oh, no, no.
Oh, gosh.
The Goldsteins next door were wonderful people.
Okay, good. I'm glad.
And they all had very typical Jewish names, so I knew where they stood.
Well, I'm glad, because I was a little alarmed when you first said that, but I figured you always tell the truth because you're a progressive.
That's me, yeah. No, I was lying to you. They were wonderful people. The only thing I didn't like about my Jewish neighbors is they were usually better sailors than I was. And they had done it longer.
Oh, my, you're funny.
Well,
the funny thing on the show is, you know, I wrote to you that you both are very funny. I wrote to you that a little before 12. You both are hilarious. You really are.
Oh, did you listen to us today?
From about 20 to 12, and I just thought it was hilarious what was going on.
Scott was on his he was really on this thing about the older gentleman that apparently was a heartthrob here in town and did a lot of roller skating. So he had to find out who that was. So we dug that hole and buried that.
Well, I came in the middle, but you said, two of you, what he was saying, it made me laugh. And that's why I wrote you guys are funny or something like that.
We have a good time. We do have a good time.
You guys are hilarious. LOL. Ha, ha, ha. I wrote at 11:52.
Are you lying to me?
What's that?
Are you lying to me? No.
No, you can look it up. It's on there.
Okay, I'm going to go look it up. Not right this minute, though. All right, so how do you think Kamala has handled her first week as vice president?
I think she's been good. She's been, you know, I think she's very classy, and
yeah.
I just love her laugh. I always laugh when she talks because she's funny.
Oh, she has
and
a
she's
great
charming
laugh.
And she's decent and certainly qualified, smart, and all that. And she just had her second vaccine. I had mine last Wednesday, as I told you. I have another one in 3 weeks. But I just think she sends the right message, and a lot better message than Mike Pence ever did.
Yeah. Now, Mike has really kind of stepped up and became sort of president in holding while our president Trump was off playing golf or whatever he did the last month that he was in office.
So, and yet Rand Paul and what's it, 44 other senators don't seem to care that he was under threat of being hanged.
Yeah. Now,
why would they not realize that alone? Forget about Nancy Pelosi. I'm not saying forget, but because this is their partisanship, why not say Mike Pence is probably worried that he could still be threatened by somebody because he stood in the way of what Trump wanted. So why can't they do the right thing and push to get this guy convicted and banned for life from being in government? I don't understand this.
I don't either, but tell me if you believe this or not, that I've been in crowds when they get a little crazed, and they will say all sorts of things. Do you believe they really were trying to find Pelosi and Pence and do away with them? Do you believe that?
Some of them, not of course all of them, but I think some of them in the crowd, that people that said it and have been arrested, I think they were. And you don't need 800 people to, you know, to do that. You could have two or three people.
Oh, yeah.
I do believe there were people there who were out to murder these people. And now we have, of course, Marjorie Taylor Greene, the extremist from Georgia, who is a monster, so is Lauren Boebert of Colorado, and also, to a lesser extent, he's trying to recover himself, Madison Cawthorn, the 25-year-old snot-nose who doesn't even know what he's doing, but he also, they all became part of the whole gang that promoted not accepting the result, but the two women particularly, and particularly her, she apparently was calling for the execution of government leaders on Facebook a couple of years ago, and now I see she claims others were on her Facebook page writing this, and I don't believe that for a minute.
Yeah.
And you're still responsible for what's on your Facebook, and if you write threatening people, you should not be in Congress, you should be in prison.
Yeah, and you're right. You should be responsible for what's on your face page. If nothing else, you can take down anything that's on your page. So that, and has not done that. Now, were you slightly frightened when I'm losing his name, the president pro tem now?
Patrick Leahy.
Yeah, were you frightened when he went to the hospital. It scared my wife to death.
Well, it worried me because he's 80, 81.
Yeah.
Although you know, a lot of the top leaders are in their 80s now.
Yeah, so true.
It's unusual. But apparently he's back, from what I gathered this morning. And
yeah, he says he feels well.
He feels better, yeah. Now, the one thing is, I was wondering, and I thought, if you're going to preside over the trial, can you vote in it? I would think that's weird, but apparently you can.
I think you can, yeah.
But I think that's a little strange. I don't know what to say, yeah. Well, but even if you didn't vote, there's still 99 senators. You would need 66 instead of 67 to convict. But I just think that's really strange. I would not think if you could preside over a trial, you could also vote in it. So although, you know, I like Leahy, I think he's a great senator. And by the way, he's like the fifth longest serving senator in history. And if he stays, if he gets reelected again, which he probably will run, he could end up breaking the record of Robert Byrd and Strom Thurmond.
Wow.
Good. He's got 46 years and counting, you know.
Yeah.
So, and he's from Vermont. You know, it's a very liberal state, which used to be very Republican, but now we have a quote socialist most of the time, sometimes a Democrat, who is, of course, Bernie Sanders, and we have Patrick Leahy there for half a century. So, boy, have they switched around. That's part of the political changes that have come over time, you know.
Well, isn't the
used to be
governor
Democratic, now it's Republican, you know.
The governor is Republican, right?
Yes, but he's a very moderate Republican who repudiated, and they've had Democrats and Republicans. They're very liberal up there in Vermont, yes.
But if Leahy had, and God forbid this happened, that if he had passed away,
he would have an appointment, yes.
Then he would have appointed.
I hadn't thought of, you know, I hadn't even thought that deeply about it. Yeah, Phil Scott, oh boy. He might, or maybe he would honor the idea of the, who knows? He's quite moderate. Maybe he would appoint a Democrat. I don't know. Oh my gosh, please don't die on us.
Well, yeah, my wife, that's what my wife was concerned about. And then we listened to one of the talking heads saying that they thought the governor might appoint independent.
Independent, yeah. So there are a lot of independent people up there. Vermonters are different than most places. They have their own mind, and a lot of people are independent. And
yeah,
that's one of the reasons why Bernie could run and win three-way races, you know, when he first was in the House of Representatives and then the Senate. He could win. He didn't have to have 50%. So, and you could also, I imagine, have maybe a special election set up where there's nobody there for a couple of months, I would think. But I don't know the Vermont law.
I don't either. Right. Well,
yeah,
from what I understand, it is up to the governor to appoint, or at least that's what the talking heads were saying.
Until the next regular election.
Right, correct.
Which is when he had to come up anyway in 2022, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, if he died, well, God forbid, I guess, I'm not sure who would be the second longest serving Democrat would become president pro tempore, I guess.
Right, yeah.
I haven't checked it yet. I'll try to look it up while I'm talking to you.
okay.
You know, but, oh
how
boy.
How do you do that?
Please don't do that to us.
I can't look anything up while I'm talking on the air. I had a hard time today looking up the word caramel. Scott was pronouncing it caramel, and I pronounce it caramel, and apparently he's right. It's caramel, because it's spelled that way.
Yeah, I think it is caramel, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
What do I know? I'm just a talking head myself.
Yeah.
All right. Now, do you... what do you think, having 45 members of the Republican Party voting against having the trial, do you think that's solid, that all 45 of them will vote in favor of not?
No, I think likely that Shelley Moore Capito of West Virginia probably might vote to convict him, and Rob Portman,
he's kind of said, well, I'm going to think about it. That's why I voted that way.
Yeah, I'd have to go through the whole list. I think a few more. Maybe up to 10 would do it, but that's not 17.
Not 17.
And we're not even sure the five who voted for the trial, I think they will vote to convict, but there's no certainty.
Yeah,
you know?
That's true. Okay, well, it sounds to me like you feel like I do.
Oh, my God, I just looked up. Dianne Feinstein is the second longest serving. Right?
Huh.
The Democrat. So if she took over and she's already seems to have signs of not being herself, oh my God.
Yeah, she has.
Yeah, but she's the second ranking in Democrats. And then Patty Murray is next of Washington State. I just looked it up. Yeah. In between, there are three Republicans after Leahy. Grassley, who was the president pro tempore when the Republicans had the majority. Mitch McConnell, who couldn't very well do that. And Richard Shelby. Oh my God, what a list.
I was shocked that that's how the president pro tem was selected. The longest
serving of the majority party. Yeah,
the majority party. Yeah,
they're always old men. Look, Strom Thurmond was three heartbeats away from the presidency when he was in his 90s, and I thought that was crazy.
It is kind of crazy. Maybe we ought to revisit that and see if we can't change that.
Well, if that's up to the Senate to decide, I guess.
Yeah. I guess it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's really just an honorary thing. Being president pro tem, but I believe you can be a vote if you are in charge of the, if you happen to be put on that position.
Well, they have a vote, just like I gather for the impeachment trial. I just wonder on that, if that's kosher, I call it.
Yeah.
I guess it is, but I would think it's a little strange, yeah.
It would be a little strange, but yes, I'm pretty sure that you can vote. Otherwise,
well, we'll know in the next few weeks.
Yes, we will.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
If he doesn't vote, then it's 66. That's the same problem. You still need 17 Republicans. And that's assuming every Democrat, including Joe Manchin of West Virginia, votes yes, which I think they will. But Joe Manchin, you never can be sure about.
No, he's kind of a loose cannon for the Democrats. But I don't mind people voting their conscience. I really don't.
Conscience? What does that mean?
I'm not sure we have a lot of conscience there right now.
Oh, my God. It's just...
What do you think about now? Apparently, there are two things right now that the president is focusing on. Well, number one, he just came out and he's going to do... I just saw on my phone that he's going to talk about the green movement. He's
environment,
Yeah, but... What do you think about what he's doing so far on our COVID vaccine type thing? He's got his work cut out for him on that.
Yeah, well, it's going to take a long while, but he's really ratcheting up, and he's using the Defense Production Act, and he's arranged for 100 million doses for the two vaccine companies. But he said himself it'll be late summer, early fall before most people have the opportunity to get it.
Yep.
So it's going to go on for the whole year. The year is lost, you know. And unfortunately, though, as Mika Brzezinski, Mika, the wife of Joe Scarborough, and even in New York, there's loads of people close together. They're getting involved in clubs. And it's as if, like, nothing's going on.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, I'm not saying, but I guess I thought people on the coastlines who live in cities you think would be more, more smart than people in the hinterlands, but no, it seems to be people just don't care.
We have a lot of dumb people in America.
Because they insist on going to bars, they insist on going to restaurants and gyms and everything, and they're all saying that until that is stopped, we're never going to get over this. But people don't want to, a lot of people do, but a lot of people don't want to cooperate. So I think people just think, I guess, it's not going to happen to me because I know my body. Nobody knows their body. You can know your body, but these are microorganisms, and they can attack you, and you're not going to know it.
Yeah, they don't care what you know.
Yeah.
Hey, now, you've gotten one of your shots. My wife is slightly older than I am, so she's allowed to get her shots now, and I'm allowed starting February 1st to get in line, but there are no shots to be had. So we can't even, you can get
in line. Get a shot. No.
But you can't get a shot. My daughter-in-law, who is a emergency room nurse down at Ohio State, she contacted us and said, you got to get your shots. And we said, we'd love to, but we only had 800 that were sent to Marion, Ohio. So that didn't take care of very many people.
So did your daughter-in-law get a shot or not?
I'm sorry?
Did your daughter-in-law get the vaccination?
Yes, yeah, she did. She's being
well, she's being
a nurse.
Exposed every day.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Now she has been very fortunate in that they've put her in a situation where she, I'm not sure she likes to do it, but she calls. She's on the tracing side, so she doesn't have to go into the rooms anymore, which she was 4 or 5 months ago. She was actually right there in the rooms. But
you got to give nurses credit. You need to. They're just wonderful people. They care about their patients, and they care beyond themselves. And real heroes and heroines.
Yeah, and my daughter-in-law's name's Christine. Christine has volunteered to do whatever she needs to do, but of course she prefers having the job that she has right now because she doesn't have to come face-to-face with COVID.
So. Does she have children?
I have twin grandsons and a granddaughter from her. So.
You have a twin grandson and granddaughter twins?
Just the sons or grandsons, twins.
And then there's a granddaughter, so what ages are they?
Yeah, and my granddaughter is of a very dangerous age, 17. Very dangerous.
It's worse.
my son is, he said, Dad, do you think I ought to buy a shotgun? When she turned 16, he said that to her. I said, no, don't go crazy.
Yeah. And the twin grandsons are older?
No, they're younger. They're 12.
Oh, well, that's not an easy age either. Having teenagers is never easy.
No, it isn't.
Are they identical or fraternal?
No, they're not identical.
So they look really different, huh?
Oh, very different, yeah.
Yeah, but I always think identical always amazes me.
Yeah, it does.
Like, know each other. They can imagine each other's thoughts, it said, you know?
Yeah, it's disconcerting when they're identical. Now, I do, and the nice thing about having my grand twins is that one of them is considerably taller than the other and bulkier, so it's easier for me to know which one's which. And the bulkier and taller one, his middle name is Glenn, so that's easy for me to remember.
Yeah, I was going to say, though, I think twins, whether identical or fraternal, who are that different in appearance as far as like weight or height, that must become an issue to the one who's not.
It does. And for that matter, my son, my youngest son, who was the athlete, star athlete, all-American, fantastic kid, used to hate his brother because his brother was 6'3" and he's only 5'11". So,
oh my God!
He hated him for having that height. I don't know.
But the one that's taller didn't have the athletic ability.
Well,
to
he did. He was a distance runner. He ran middle distance and cross countries. He was very fast. Very fast.
Well, I just hope you don't know we're safe. That's all I hope.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. Now, down there in Florida, in your neck of the woods, it sounds to me, if you already have your shot, it sounds to me like at least, even though I hate your governor,
he's horrible.
It seems to me that at least you're getting your medicine moving.
Actually, I was fortunate. I signed up online and then got called. I was just purely lucky. But even online, there are lots of people who can't even get an appointment. It's not like everybody's getting it. I don't know why I was so fortunate.
Yeah, you were.
It's that I got this and I have a second appointment. I really don't understand this, but apparently it's a major problem for so many people. So I would not say it's a good result, although for me it has been. And in a way it bothers me that I'm saying, why did I have this fortune and others don't? Because that bothers me. But, you know, it just happened to work out that way.
Hey, I didn't have to go to Vietnam. I'm not going to argue. I got my good fortune a long time ago, so I'm going to leave that alone.
Yeah. I'm thinking, why? Who knows? You never know why things happen. Just like some people die young of a brain tumor. Why? There's no answer.
Yeah, there isn't any. And okay, I was trying to think. I had another thing, and unfortunately, I left my notes at home. I had another thing I was going to ask you about politically, and it had something to do. It had something to do related to the COVID medicines, and I can't remember at all what it was.
Not sure what you're referring to.
I can't remember. Are there some things that you think we need to go over about politics here and the presidential politics, being the presidential expert that you are for
election? You say that again. Well, I'll just say, some of my blog this week, Joe Biden becomes the third president after Ulysses S. Grant and Lyndon B. Johnson to emphasize racial equity in first months of his presidency. And I'm very proud of him for that.
USS Grant did too.
What?
Grant did too? I didn't realize Grant was the very...
Grant came in and he promoted, this is 1869, the idea of a constitutional amendment to give African-American men the right to vote, which became the 15th Amendment in 1870, and he was the one promoting it in his inaugural address. And, of course, later it was back it was backstabbed by Southerners, Democrats, and they had Jim Crow laws, and they stopped blacks from voting, and only the Voting Rights Act of 1965, almost 95 years later, brought back that African-American men everywhere could vote, and then, of course, women as well. So that's important. And he also talked about the need to promote better treatment of Native Americans.
Yep.
Imagine that.
That's interesting, especially back in those days.
Yep. Yeah, so he was a real advanced person in that regard. He had his faults, of course. In many ways, there was corruption in his administration. But he made civil rights a key issue, as did Lyndon Johnson, pushing the Civil Rights Act of 64 and then the Voting Rights Act of 1965, to reinforce the 15th Amendment. So, and now Joe Biden is promoting action on discrimination and criminal justice, trying to overcome that, and also ending the government, allowing private prisons to have people in prison, because it's all just a way to make money, and they find excuses to have people stay long in prison because it's a profit making thing. I don't like for-profit prisons, and the government shouldn't be involved in that, in my opinion. So he's working against that, and he's also trying to promote education and work opportunities. And housing, try to work against housing discrimination, and also the environment, where many areas where minorities, not just blacks, but other minorities live, including Native Americans, there's massive pollution by industry. He wants to work against that. Now, it's a lot of things. Doesn't mean everything's going to work out, but he's setting the goal of it. That's all he can do at this point,
Well, he's really struck a high chord with our Sherrod Brown up here.
He
emphasizes labor.
He's trying to restore labor unions that have been in decline since Ronald Reagan came in.
Ronald Reagan, I think I saw somewhere around 17% of the American labor were in unions then, and it's dropped to like 11% now.
Yes.
Yeah.
He was not good on labor. Really, Reagan's a charming guy, much nicer than Trump, and he had a way about him, but he did a lot of damage that's still affecting us 40 years later. So I think he's overrated. He's rated usually in the bottom of the top 10 of presidents, either 9 or 10. But I'm not sure over the long haul that he will be that high in the future. But he'll always be above Trump, of course. No way. Because he's a decent person on a personal level, But a lot of what he did, I think, was highly destructive.
Do you think that he was suffering from dementia in the final year of his
They claimed that Howard Baker, who had been in the Senate and had been Senate Majority Leader for a while, and was one of his aides, but by 1987, they tested him, so like without him being aware, and the story goes that they claimed he was fit to do his job, but
okay.
I don't know, they may have been, bending over backwards. I mean, he managed to do it with having a better staff than Trump, at least, and also Howard Baker, particularly from Tennessee, and also his wife, of course, was assisted a lot, Nancy Reagan.
Can President Biden overcome some of the appointments that Trump made in the last few months to undermine the incoming administration?
I gather he's already started to fire some.
He has, or move them.
He's actually moved them. Yeah. They might win a court case. If they win a court case, I think all they could do is maybe win financial damages. But I don't think, if he fires them, I don't see how they could be forced to come back, by a court. I don't think so. But I'm not an expert on that. But he should get rid of all these Trump appointees at the last minute, because they're not there to do any good.
Yeah, there were like, I don't know, maybe four or five of them that he did in the last 2 weeks. And
most of board of governors should all be fired, including the Postmaster General, because they really messed up a lot of things, causing a lot of the troubles for the election, too.
Yeah. Now, I don't know whether that'll happen or not, but, boy, that was blatant.
Well, I'll tell Postmaster. You, I was a nice guy, but he's tough-minded, and he's not going to take any crap, I'm going to use the word. He's going to do whatever he can within the limits. You can be nice, but you still have to have standards, and that's why I'm glad that he said anybody in my administration who mistreats people in word or deed is out of here, and that's the way it should be.
Well, now, do you think that he's kind of said laissez-faire when it comes to impeachment thing? Do you think that's the right move for him?
I think he's trying to stay out of it.
Yeah.
He has a his focus on COVID-19 and on the executive orders and the cabinet. I think he figures it's up to the Senate. It's their business to do what they do, and he'll have to live with it. So, I mean, otherwise, I think it makes it seem more politicized if he gets involved.
Well, now, he's got to have signed 30 executive orders by now, maybe more.
I think it's more than that, yeah.
And what will he have to do to ratify those, make those written in granite? Will he have to go back and revisit all those?
Apparently, in most cases, he can just reverse them. Of course, the next president could also, as Trump did with Obama, Biden is doing with Trump, the next person, if it's the other party, could reverse. Nothing is necessarily forever in an executive order. But I think pretty much what he does now, unless it's sued in court where the courts rule that it cannot be done what he wants, and that takes time, it'll be in operation until then. But at some point, there could be a problem, yes.
Don't you think that, you know, if we keep going back and forth, one president does away with the executive orders of the previous president and then vice versa, that's going to make for a pretty shaky groundwork for our government?
Hopefully we're not going to have people of such diametrically opposite views, because in the past, even if you had a Republican or a Democrat, it wasn't that different. They were in the center, center-left, center-right. But with Trump, it became so far right that that's why we have to go and do what we're doing now. But who knows? I mean, God forbid if Trump comes back, or Tom Cotton, a nightmare, or any of these characters, you know, including Ted Cruz. And by the way, I say again, Ted Cruz and Josh Hawley should be removed from the Senate. But
I don't think it's going to happen.
But it's going to require a two-thirds vote, so I guess they're not going to pay the price. But it's just outrageous. And also, a lot of those Republican House members, including Jim Jordan, should be gone.
Well, now, one of the things I did hear that President Biden is seriously considering visiting is Citizens United, the rule that was...
Well, they're going to try to come up with a case that could go to the Supreme Court, yes, because we should not have corporations being able to spend wildly on campaign. All labor unions don't have the power that decision says that, you know, the either group. I think it should, but it's up to the Supreme Court, and right now it's going to be difficult because it's a 6-3 conservative court. So I think it's one of those things that's a goal, but unless there's a change on the Supreme Court, and I think over time there will be, and I'm worried about Breyer, who's the oldest member, he's 82, and I'm thinking to myself, you need to retire before the midterm elections, because who knows, the Senate may go back to the Republicans, and then Biden's going to have trouble getting an appointment, just like he did in 2016 with Merrick Garland, who's now Attorney General, which is great. But I just think that, you know, he's old enough, he should retire in 2022, so there's definitely a replacement that's of the same viewpoint. But, you know, Ruth Bader Ginsburg didn't do that, and that's why we had the problem we had, you know.
Yeah, I loved Ruth Ginsburg.
Oh, absolutely, but he stayed too long.
Yeah,
you know?
She might have helped the government a lot better if she'd retired a little earlier.
Yes.
Yeah. All right, well, when will the vote, do you think the vote for impeachment come?
Well, it's going to start, I gather, on February 8th, Monday, so I imagine it'll take a couple weeks.
A couple weeks after that?
Yeah, I think by maybe around President's Day.
Oh, how ironic.
Well, President's Day actually is, let's see, it's actually the 15th, even though Washington was February 22nd, he was born.
Yeah.
So I guess it wouldn't be within a week by the 50th, but it'll be the month of President's Day, yes. And they're going to have all kinds of new polls by experts asking about how do you rank all the presidents now that Trump is in the mix. It'll be interesting. And also public opinion polls, who do you think are the greatest presidents? Usually it's Reagan or Kennedy. Can you imagine? It might be a large percentage to say Trump is. Oh, my God.
He was considered the most admired person this last year.
Oh, my gosh. It'll be interesting to see what happens around 2 weeks from now, or 3 weeks from now, with the President's Day, with experts and with the general public, yeah.
It's crazy. We're down
to... It's a crazy country in many ways. A lot of people are just warped. They believe in QAnon, and they believe in conspiracy theories. It's just... not good.
you sometimes scratch your head and say, where in the world did we go wrong that people are that ignorant? But
it's science, not not respecting science really gets to me.
Let's stick with the science, yeah.
Yes.
Now, we're down to a minute and a half, so if you have anything last to say until next week, I'd be glad to hear it.
Let me just see if I can. I'm trying to think quickly.
I'm sorry I put you on the spot there.
Yeah. I just said that when you have some seditious congressmen who led traitors on Capitol Hill tours before the insurrection, they definitely should be prosecuted. You know, and that includes, apparently, the ones I mentioned, you know, the two women who were QAnon and a few others. Even Jim Jordan is accused of having led tours on January 5th.
There were like five or six of them that were accused
of
taking
tours.
They should
be removed and prosecuted, forgetting about whether they were against or for the actual, you know, what happened on January 6th. But if they're leading people on tours, knowing that these people are extreme, then they're really seditionists and they should face criminal prosecution.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean they will. We'll have to wait and see.
All right. Well, we're down to our last half minute, so I'm going to say goodbye and have a great week, and we'll get you back next week.
Yes, thank you so much. Have a great day.
Okay, bye, Dr. Feynman.
Bye.
Bye-bye. All right, Dr. Feynman, and we always get a good interview from Dr. Feynman. We had a lot of things to talk about. I left them all on my notes sitting on my desk at home. But he gave us his best shot. So we'll be talking to you tomorrow, and we're going to kind of play it by ear tomorrow because our guest is unfortunately quarantined. Have a good day. Bye-bye. All right, what did I do wrong?
The grandson of President Warren G. Harding and Nan Britton. Jim, I can't.